There's something very special in worship. Somehow we human beings, the more we focus on ourselves, our situation, our problems, or just even our ego, it's like it's something that just sucks us down. But when we look up, when we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, when we focus on God's love, and today we're going to focus on His creation, but when we focus on God, the burdens are lifted. When we know Him and worship Him, the strength comes. He will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary and walk and not faint. Help us to, Lord, remember our God, our King, our ruler. Remember that He's alive and on the throne, that He lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I see Him all around me. Yes, I know my Savior lives. And we need to remember that and remind ourselves of that and encourage ourselves and encourage each other with the great news of what God has done for us and His many, many blessings. He never, ever forgets us. Today we're focusing our attention on the creation and what God did. And that should always, there should be a sense of wonder that you never quite grow out of it. You know, our kids, when they see something that new, they wonder. My little granddaughter, I don't know how I get her in the picture every time, but my little granddaughter, if she sees a fish in a tank moving, it just, wow. You know, you can see her eyes light up and the wonder. If she gets to, this week she likes puppies. And so this week she got down on all fours and was licking like she saw the puppy do. A sense of wonder. And what God has made is should give us such a sense of wonder every season, every day. That God, there's a blessing to be had if you'll just look around. And it can encourage you and give you joy in your heart. We mentioned last week that in God's creation that we often didn't, in His story of creation, He didn't always give us all the answers we might have liked today. And we talked about how that creation, He didn't tell us just the exact spectrum of light that He started, or didn't tell us how this animal functions or that animal does. He left that for us to discover. And so science keeps trying to catch up with God, but He made a very simple, gave us a very simple explanation. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And so we looked at creation, we looked at something about the days of creation and what happened each day. And you can remind yourself, as I said, I'm still looking for an understanding of that firmament. It's always kind of a puzzle to me, but it's like He stretched out the heavens, as I understand it. So it's like He stretched out, expanded the heavens, but then the land and plants and so on and so forth. So we talked about that last week, and I didn't quite get finished. And so this week we want to take a further look at this and ask our question: is how did God create the heavens and the earth? Now we know He did, I hope you know He did. He is our Creator. He is our God. He created us. In creating the heavens and the earth, He created you and me all the way down through the thousands of years that we've come. He looked down and He saw you. So He's a very global Creator, but a very personal God. And He knows us intimately. He sees the whole big picture, but He knows every single cell in your body. And everything that you've done and will do, and he is such an on-hands God. And He takes our our predicament and our needs into account. So as we look at this on hands God, we want to know what did he use to create things? How did God, if we look in Genesis chapter 1 and then verse 3, it says that the Spirit of God moves upon the face of the waters, verse 2, and God said, let there be light. Now, I know that some of you parents wish that all you had to do was say something and it would be done. Wouldn't you like that, you know? Sometimes our words don't always have the effect that we would like them to. You can speak till you're blue in the face. Our son, he was a little hard-headed. I don't know where he got it from, maybe from his mother. But anyway, he was a little hard-headed, and if he got something in his mind, I don't care if you killed him. He wouldn't go the way you'd want him to. Any of you have kids like that? Anyway, we won't ask you to raise your hands. But the fact is that God, because he's God, he speaks, and it's done. All he has to do is say, light, and there's light. And that's kind of the way, we read, let there be light, but actually, if you look at the way it's worded, it says, light, and there's light. That's all he said was light, and there's light. Psalm chapter 33, it describes this amazing event of God's creation and how he created things. And 33 verses 6 and 7 and 8 there, and 9. But look at this. David knew this, and he says in verse 6, and the word of God, and by the word of God, the heavens were made, and all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth. Now, we look at word as kind of all vibrations in the air. That's kind of the way, it's just vibrations, that we don't look at it as something that's more tangible. When God speaks, it's more tangible. There's something more to it. Sometimes our words can get us in trouble, and we need to be careful about our words. We don't need to be always speaking negatively or always speaking doubt. Sometimes when you say something, it comes true, doesn't it? And so we need to be careful to speak faith, not doubt. And so when we look at God's word, he speaks and it's done. So by the word of God, the heavens were made and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the seas together as a heap, and he laid up the depth and storehouses, and let all the earth fear God, and all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe. Do you stand in awe of God? That's part of what coming into relationship with him is. Realizing that he is God. He is the Almighty God. He is the God that can change things in our lives. He is the God that wraps himself around our lives. He is an Almighty God, and we need to understand and stand in awe of him. So many times we stand in doubt of everything. No, we need to stand in awe of a living God. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught, and maketh the devices of the people of none effect. But God, he spoke and it was done. So by the word of God, he did these things. If we look there in Hebrews chapter 11, And while the scripture has 66 books, all the chapters had the same author, and that author is God. He led these people to write these things, and so when we look in Psalms or James or in Hebrews, we're all talking about the same word of God, because he's the one that inspired all the writing of it. But if we look in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, we find how this creation was done. How did God do it? Well, it says, through now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Did you realize that? The worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, we're going to find out that this is even more tangible than what you think. It goes way beyond just the fact that God thought it or spoke it and it was done. It goes way beyond that, because in the Word of God, there is a person. In the Word of God, there is a person. We'll get to that in just a minute. Then we look at verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, we see, it says we understand this, that the worlds were created by things which do not appear, but, and by the Word of God, but we have to believe that. In order to come to God, we've got to believe that there is a God, that he is an almighty God, and that he lives. So many times, and I would say among Christians, we talk a good talk. We come to church, but do we live a good life? Do we walk a good walk because of what God is and who he is and what he's done? Are we living out the faith we talk about? Are our actions equal to our words or our profession? You know, we could never leave the Church of God because we believe it and we're in it and we think it's wonderful. But does our living out of our daily lives show the example of our profession of faith? Very great challenge there. If we look at Hebrews 1, we find it says how God, he spoke and it was done, he commanded and stood fast, so he spoke creation into existence. But here it says in Hebrews 1, verse 1, God, who has sundry times in many ways, in times past, spoke to our fathers by the prophets. So God spoke to the fathers, ancient Israel, by prophets. They listened, they heard, and sometimes they did, but they weren't always as listening as carefully. But God spoke through men, through prophets, and has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. How did God make the worlds? He spoke it. How did he make the worlds? His Son, Jesus, was this Word that came out and did it. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said. So God speaking was actually God's thoughts and God's ideas, which was actually Jesus Christ. It says, by whom also he made the worlds. Who, this thing, the spoken Word, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You see, it's through the instrument of Jesus Christ that God created the worlds. The power that he put in Jesus Christ, he created the worlds, all the world. And it says here that he even is upholding the worlds right now through his Son, Jesus Christ. If we look then at Romans, and one of the greatest sins and one of the first sins that we can commit is to not acknowledge God or disregard his Son. One place I was reading this week be careful. Where is it? Where it says that we kiss the Son lest he be angry. In Psalms, it's Psalms about, no, it's about 2 or one of them, 22, something like that. Anyway, it says that the Son was real important to the Father. And we need to be careful. I need to be careful about saying things without really thinking what I'm saying. And anyhow. And so here, the Son is very important to the Father. And one of the One of the sins that starts us away from God, one of the sins that starts us down a path of destruction, is to sin and not acknowledge the Father or the Son. Either one, to not acknowledge them, is starting the path to destruction. And so here it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who restrain or hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for he has showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." When we start denying creation, when we start denying God, when we start denying his Son, we're on a road to destruction, and our country is on that road. It started, I was listening the other day to a lecture, and he mentioned the Scopes trial. It started when we started not believing that God is our creator. When we stopped believing that he created the heavens and the earth in how many days? 10 billion years. No, in 6 days. God created the heaven and the earth and all that in them is. When we stopped believing that and started attributing our who we are and what we are and where we are today to an accident, which is what evolution essentially does, when we start attributing it to that and don't realize that it is God that created, then we lose purpose, we lose our dignity, we are no longer the pinnacle of God's creation, we're just an accident. No hope, no future, no reason for being. You see, God starts at the beginning and he takes us all the way to the end. And we need to recognize that every day. And so whenever, if you look at Romans chapter 1, it talks about that the first thing is denying God's creation, that God did it, that he is the author and foundation of us, and that everything is done by his power. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness." And that's verse 1. And verse 20 says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen," or clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, "even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." And as you go on, you find that it goes down to from one degradation to another, from one not belief or unbelief to another, to the point where they become, it says, "professing themselves to be wise, they become fools." When we start with the creation of God and start denying him in that way, our road is only down. And it sucks us in faster and faster. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you need to acknowledge your Creator, that he is God. Look with me at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Over and over again, it declares that Jesus is the Creator. Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 15. It says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him," this is Jesus, "by him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." Everything that was created. He is before all things. And by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all, in all things he might have preeminence. Jesus, we said, we started out with that he spoke and it was done, and we find that that speaking was Jesus. That word was Jesus. That creation was through Jesus Christ. In fact, when he's called the Word, he's called the Logos, which means the thought. He's called the Logos. When you look at psychology, If you look at any low G's at the end of a word, that's the thought of God. The thoughts of God which are expressed in the Word of God. He is the Word of God. And then John 1, for me, just clinches it whenever it says there that in the beginning was the Word, the Logos. Later it says that the Word became flesh. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. You have something working alongside of God, and it's with God, and it's God, and all things were made by Him, the Logos. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And so we see this idea of God working through Jesus. Whenever you just read, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, He said, let there be light. He spoke. And Jesus was at work in the creation. Now, the next thing I want to get to, and I know I'm a little over, but you got me up here a little late, so can you hold with me a few more minutes? Can we make it a few more minutes? The next question that's so important is why? Why did God make this place? You ever think about that? What's His reason? What's His purpose? Why did God make the earth? I mean, He made the earth is so small and the universe is so big. Why did He make it? Well, He had a focus on us. He had a focus on you and me. In Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 26, he says, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So God made man in His image. Now this changes everything. You're not just a monkey's uncle, or monkey was your uncle. You're not. You and I are created in the image of God. You were made to reach heights that you can't imagine. God made you to have a glory with Him. Jesus is the avenue. What is man that Thou hast made him? O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Thy name. Psalm 8, let's turn to it, because I won't quote it exactly right if I don't. But Psalm number 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Get my Bible to turn here real quick. How excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings Thou hast ordered any strength, that Thou might, because of the enemy, that Thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider, now see, this is the awe that we need to have when we talk about creation. When I consider the heavens, the work of Thy fingers, can you imagine how big the heavens are? When you consider how big and majestic and powerful and all the might that goes in, One second of the sun would power the earth for almost a millennium, probably, of the power, and that's just one of the stars. All the power, that all the energy that goes into all the planets and keeps them in line and keeps them going in the right direction, we need to stand in awe. When I consider the heavens, the work of Thy fingers, and the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that You visit him? That God would consider us enough, to love us enough, be patient with us enough to send His own Son into the world to touch our lives and bring us back to Him. You see, he didn't just take a perfect human race and say, well, come on, you can come and get to know me and all that stuff. No, He took a fallen human race. He took a broken world and he visited and he gave his only son to save that whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now we need to turn one more chapter, one more place real quick. Can't let this go by without getting it in. John chapter 1 again. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. John, we're skipping another place down to the last one. John 1 verses 4. You remember that? All the, it says, it's chaos, it's brokenness, it's darkness. That's the state of the world when God said, "Let there be light." Now I want you to look at your own lives. The state of brokenness, the state of lostness, the state of darkness. And God said, "Let there be light." Just as in the world of old, at that beginning, when he said, "Let there be light," he started transforming this earth into the beautiful paradise that he would give to Adam and Eve. And when he said, "Let there be light in your hearts," he started a transformation and a reorganization process of getting rid of the old and putting in the new, a changing of bringing light to darkness, bringing joy where there was sadness, bringing peace where there was turmoil. God said, "Let there be light in your life." As we look at creation, we need to see how great it is and how wonderful it is. But when we look at our lives, God says, "Let there be light." And he takes all the confusion and all the sadness and all the sorrow, and he changes it. He makes you a new person, a new creature. Read with me there in John chapter 1 what happened after it brings into the effect this that Jesus was involved in all the creation of the earth. It says, "In him," Jesus, verse 4, is life, and the life was the light of men. He visited us. He reached down. He came to us. And the light shines in darkness, but the darkness can't comprehend it or overpower it. And then it's interjects in there was a man sent from John whose name was John, or sent from God whose name was John, came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. He was the introducer of the light, Jesus, and all, that all men through him might believe. And he was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light, and that was the true light. You know, the light that went into the world, we'd think it'd be terrible to be blind and not see and be always in darkness. But you know, that's not the real darkness. The real darkness is when we don't know the love of God and don't know our purpose and don't know that God has come to save us from our sins. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and knew him not. The world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many... as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. When you look at creation, you ought to stand in awe. When you look at Jesus, you ought to stand in more awe. When you look at what Jesus has done in your life, the changes that have come since you have known him. And we need to receive him with all our hearts. We need to receive him as our Lord and King and Savior. We need to receive his ways, his words. We need to receive him with everything we've got. Because when we do, he will bring light into your heart that no darkness can extinguish. Let there be light. And there was light. May God bless you and just keep strong in the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation. I want to sing a different song than what I've got down. I want to sing, "Be a Light for Jesus Every Day." think it's 3:40 or 4:39.